Hi, everybody. This is Laurie Handlers, and you're listening to Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. And this is bbsradio.com. And I'm thrilled to be back with you. I say Om Shanti Shanti to you. I greet you in peace. I always greet you in peace. Today, I have a very exciting show. It's about creativity and the sex chakra. So if you're wondering what I mean by that, you know, if anybody listening is wondering about that, you know, it's funny. It's kind of like a cosmic joke. And that is that the sex chakra is the chakra, the area, the energy center of the body that's responsible for all of our creativity. And so, I mean, think about it. We got created because two people put their sex chakras together and a seed impregnated an egg, and that was creation. So that's actually where the energy of creation or creativity resides in everyone's body. So people who are even, you know, fundamentalists who don't believe any of this stuff, who, you know, or who are very, very, what do I want to say? Who are very conservative, or people who, you know, who are afraid of sexual energy, even that they are, they're using their sexual energy to repress sexual energy. Like, sexual energy comes from the sex chakra, and it's the energy of creation. So if you're a poet, you use sexual energy. If you're an artist, you use sexual energy. If you're the CEO of a company, you use sexual energy. That's the energy that you use to accomplish your creativity or your creations. So I'm saying it's a cosmic joke, like the joke is on me or the joke is on you if we don't know it. When we become consciously aware of using sexual energy to fuel our intentions, that which we intend to create, then we start to become kind of the masters of our own fate. If there is something that you really want to happen in your life, for example, I wanted to write a book, so I had to use my sexual energy to constantly fuel the intention of getting my book written. And I've done that with other things as well. I do it all the time because I now know. And when I didn't know, it's like my energy was more scattered. It was all over the place, and I was using my sexual energy primarily for the pursuit of sexual partners. I was actually using my sexual energy to manipulate circumstances and situations so I could have sexual partners, so I could find love and romance. So that's one way to use sexual energy. It's the obvious way. And when we get more sophisticated and into a tantric lifestyle or way of life, that's when people discover that, oh, my sex energy, I can use it for everything. I can use it to cook. I can use it to decorate. I can use it for all the creative pursuits that I'm into. So there's your appetizer for today. And I want to bring my guest on, who is really an expert in this field. My guest today is Kamala Devi, and she's an author and a coach in Tantra and sacred sex. Her specialty is the second chakra, or the sex center, which also is the source of creativity, which I just said to you. She works with women and couples to manifest fulfilling relationships. She works with artists to realize their full expression. She works with writers to publish their first book. How I wish I knew you when I was publishing my first book. I really do. It was not an easy birth. And she works with erotic entrepreneurs to build spiritually grounded businesses. And her website is blisscoach.com. And we're going to now hear from her. So, Kamala, are you there?
Yes, Lori. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. It's a beautiful day here in San Diego.
Wonderful. Well, we're broadcasting from Phoenix, San Diego, and Paradise, California. So here we are. The wonders of somebody's sex chakra. Sex chakra put together all this wonderful technology. So tell us a little bit. You have, I went on your website. It's amazing. We'll be talking about that a little bit later in the show. But first I want to find out, do we say your name, just so the guests will know, do we say your whole name, Kamala Devi, together,
yeah,
or do I just call you Kamala?
Kamala's fine. Kamala's fine. It's a Sanskrit name, and so as a dead language, you can pronounce it however you want. And I was, when it was given to me, Kamala Devi was the full name. So
okay, great. And who was it given to you by? Can you share that?
Sure. I had spent some time in the Shivananda order as a yoga teacher, and so Swami Mahadevananda was my guru at the time. And that was, maybe about 9 years ago.
Wow, I went to the Shivananda Ashram in India, in Trivandrum, India. I was there a couple of years ago.
Yay! Ashrams all over the world. It's a real world vision, really beautiful thing, and not tantric at all.
No, I know. I felt kind of bad for the people there. They seemed very unjuicy. That was just my take on it, but it was a lot of fun to be there. I was at a place where I wanted to just, like, let go of all leading and just follow directions, and it was a wonderful experience.
Yeah, so that's a real crossroads for us who come to Tantra from a yogic path, because a lot of yoga is about transcending the body and meeting with the divine, and so much of Tantra is about descending more fully into our bodies and experiencing the divine in our senses.
How did you make that transition? Like, what interested you in Tantra?
I think the irony of the name Kamala Devi is that it's a very tantric name.
And so it's funny because when I got my name, Swami Mahadevananda raised his eyebrow and he just kind of said, "You be careful, that's a tantric name." Kamala Devi actually means she who worships the divine with her body. And when that initiation, I mean, I was already on a tantric path, but when I got that real confirmation, I was like, I think I need to leave this order. and that was really when I stopped teaching yoga and I started teaching partner yoga. And from partner yoga, it evolved into yoga in the bedroom and a lot of relationship coaching. And it's all just been a wild, wonderful ride since then.
Wow, that's so interesting. It really is interesting. It's very unique also. I just want to say to you, that's the first I've ever heard anything like that. That's fantastic. So your interest in Tantra, but that means that you had an interest actually before, like if you had the recognition. So you had an interest, you just weren't like playing it out or, it was just kind of dormant?
Yeah, I'm like second generation yogi and was raised with yoga, and the actual, tantric integration, came in maybe 15 years ago with a lover in Hawaii who was a natural, inborn tantrika, initiated me. And then I was sort of reeling from that. I was like, what the hell is this? It's not like I learned it from books. I had a real experience and had to, had to spend years trying to figure it out, before I actually understood, that this was a whole path.
Right. Right. Wow. So you had a tantric awakening, basically. And then you were trying to figure out, what happened to you. That's beautiful. Really beautiful. So glad to hear that. But you have all these other interests also. You've kind of fueled things together. You have something called a Bliss Coach University, which, that was beautiful to see. So tell us a little bit about all the stuff that you do. I mean, do you teach regular Tantra classes, like classes in people learning Tantra breathing techniques and things like that?
Sure. I've been doing that for some time. What's wonderful is having traveled, the world and looking at different Tantric communities, I found myself very attracted to San Diego when I moved here 7 years ago, there was monthly pujas happening just on a large scale, in San Diego very regularly. And there was a sense of, wow, there's a lot of community here. That was actually started by Robert Fry and Kelly Bryson. And then since then, we have spun off of just doing monthly pujas into doing, you know, workshops and classes. And I did have, I think, probably three studios, like yoga studios here in San Diego, where I'd teach Tantra yoga in the yoga studios. But now it's more specialized. I mean, just tantric, like breathing and practices. There are other awesome teachers here in San Diego that are doing that. I think I've specialized more in the creativity front. And for me, that looked like artist way with the tantric interpretation. And then how to write a book in 90 days, really by channeling our spirit guides to help us write, you know, these, and most of my students are Tantra students, so a lot of their books are tantric in nature. And then most recently, because the whole creativity tends to have a life of its own and has multiple incarnations, so most recently we birthed Tantra Theater, which is a place for people to tell their personal narratives and to get on stage and act out their fantasies, and it's just a really creative, free-flowing forum for personal growth. And so I just try to weave all of that under the umbrella of Bliss Coach University, but it's completely, you know, it's evolving all the time.
Well, let's just backtrack for a second, because some of the listeners who are listening may not know what a puja is.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk a little bit about that? What is a puja? So, I mean, a lot of listeners will know, but some won't. They're learning.
Sure. One of the things that I think is interesting is when in India, there's puja, like everything's a puja. It just means worship. So if you go to any temple in India and at 2 o'clock they're having a puja, at 3 o'clock they're having a puja, what it means is there's a priest or priestess, and usually in India it's a priest, and they're calling in the divine and they're worshiping it. And somewhere in Neo-Tantra in America, the word puja in Tantra is synonymous with chakra puja, which means circle, and it involves men and women coming together to worship the divine within one another through a series of breath, movement, sound, exercises. So it might look like a dance or a celebration of the divine energy that we all share. But oftentimes when people say puja, it's code for, you know, the equal amounts of men meeting equal amounts of women and each doing brief exercises with one another and then switching over to another man or woman, and in every person that you do an exercise with, just trying to see their divinity and honor that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's a great way to express it. Really, really beautiful. And hopefully people, if you're listening, you know, in and you've never experienced a tantric puja, this would be a time for you to put this on your must-do list. Like, mm-hmm. This is something, just what Kamala Devi just described is a really, it can be a life-altering experience. In just an hour or two of being in a puja, everything about you could change, in that you probably experienced never having been seen that way before, and then never settling for less.
Yeah.
After Another example
of how, you know, you're right on, Lori, and one example is, like, we have a concept, I think, in mainstream of speed dating, you know, these brief little encounters where you get to meet people. And this is, it's similar in that it's like the speed experience. You might only have 4 minutes with the person, but the difference is you're not auditioning them to see if they're the one, as you would be in a speed dating scenario and trying to see what's wrong with them or whether you resonate. It's more like, I don't care what your name is. I don't care, you know, whether we're compatible or not. I'm going to show up in these 3 minutes and ask myself, how much can I allow myself to be loved? How much can I love another person and not have it mean anything about whether or not we'll ever even know each other's name beyond this moment? And that doesn't have to be sexual. It can just really be with reverence and adoration for another human being. It's so profound to continue to meet people in their highest potential, in their moment of divinity.
Oh, just beautiful. It just took that whole expression just took me back to, you know, my first puja. I didn't even know what I was doing or what I was getting into. There it was. You know, we were, you know, I was told, okay, we're going to have a Shakti puja, and, you know, we had to dress for it, and I didn't really know how to dress. And mm-hmm. I don't think I dressed appropriately. I mean, I wore a cute little dress. Like, I didn't really dress like a goddess or anything, because no one really told me, you know, that it was about being a goddess or a god. So I put on a cute little dress. And then, but it didn't matter, because then I was in the puja and I let go of all sense of whatever I was wearing. It was that I was so being with, powerfully with the other people who showed up there, that it was just amazing. And I said, oh, this is how I want to, that actually changed my whole life. The whole reason that I teach Tantra now, and anything that I do, any way that I dress, anytime anyone sees me, it's all attributed to that experience that I had in my first puja.
Beautiful.
Yeah, quite amazing. So that when you were talking about it, it was like, I was just taken right back there, you know, and I went, yeah, it changed my life forever.
Yeah.
So, beautiful. So, okay, so in San Diego, you moved there, it was happening in the Tantra community there. I know there's a very active Tantra community there. And then you, little by little, you branched into teaching in the yoga studios there, and this university grew out of it. So we're going to take a short break here for a minute. When we come back, I'm going to ask you to, like, really delve into all these areas of expression that you work with people on, because I think it's really important for people to learn how you've taken this and how it can be taken, how Tantra can be taken. So we'll be right back. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm here today with my guest, Kamala Devi, and we're talking about sex and creativity, and we'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Are you feeling like you just don't get it? All this talk about sex and love, love and sex. Feeling like all people ever think about and talk about is sex. Maybe you are longing for a more spiritual sexual connection. Hey, maybe you are just totally confused about all of it. Lori Handler's new book, Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy, puts the innocence and love back into sex. And it gives Tantra the respect it truly deserves. In this book, you will discover a wonderful meditation on self-love. You will also find fun new ways to develop an intimacy with yourself, whether or not you have a partner. And now, for only $19.99, you can get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy. Right now, go to www.sexandhappiness.com and order your copy. Give yourself the gift.
That's sexandhappiness.com.
Are you someone who's looking for more pleasure in your life and you've never heard of East Garden? East Garden is a comfortable and elegant environment for women to explore the tools of pleasure and other educational materials. These materials enhance mind, body, and spirit. Eve's Garden encourages women to take responsibility for their own sexuality and clearly understand that bodily pleasure and spiritual joy are one and the same. While in New York City, you can visit the store at 119 West 57th Street, Suite 1201. And now, for a limited time, you can get a 15% discount on everything in stock if you go through evesgarden.com/Tantra Cafe. Go there now.
Okay, we're back, and thanks for staying tuned. You're listening to bbsradio.com. This is Tantra Cafe, a program for spiritual enlightenment. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and today my guest is Kamala Devi, who is coming to us from San Diego, and she teaches Tantra. Specifically, she focuses on Tantra and creativity, like the whole area of sexuality, the sex energy and creativity, and she has something called Bliss Coach University. So What can you tell us about artists realizing their full expression, their full self-expression? Like, how would you work with an artist to bring that forth?
Yeah, absolutely. First of all, I think we're all artists, and I think that's a really important foundational piece, because whenever we start thinking there's artists or there's not, you know, we get into the dualism. And a lot of people, when they come to me, and this is probably how my work has evolved, is that there was a natural evolution. I was working with people who were having problems in their relationship or in their sex, and eventually as we practiced tantric tools for more, you know, juice and excitement and sexuality, and then there was a journey where people were starting to get more satisfied or more of a handle on their romantic life. And then what would naturally arise is creative expression. So their relationship gets handled and they want to write a book or sing a song or do a dance or even just like all of a sudden they're redecorating their house. So I really feel like just as we're all sexual beings, we're also all creative artists. And I think in the scale of sort of evolution or survival, you know, sex comes first. That's a real primal, you know, desire and a need, and to have relationship and sexual harmony is really important. But once that gets handled and there's a real sort of satisfaction and accomplishment there, sexual energy naturally evolves to wanting to create, whether that's a child and a family, or somebody wants to take up beading and sewing. So what I saw in a lot of my clients, because I like to work with people, you know, as a university, I get people to enroll in, you know, 3 months, 6 months, a year at a time. And so initially we may work on sexual techniques, but in order to really satisfy someone sexually and creatively, people are going to start to hone their craft. And so the work naturally turns into how can we support art and creativity in a culture that is not only, you know, sex negative, but it's like, Lori, we live in the same culture that created the assembly line. This is like our culture does not honor creativity. It likes keeping people, you know, like coloring within the box. So a lot of the work that I do is give people permission to, you know, find out their, you know, what their full expression would look like if they had permission.
You know, I just have to stop you for a second. It's not stopping you. It's astounding what just came up for me, which is, and you know, it may not be astounding to you, but it all of a sudden just struck me that when people get their relationship handled, oftentimes that's when they start fooling around. Like their creative energy doesn't, you know, their relationship's handled, and they don't get real creative for the most part in their sexual in their marriages. You know, they do in the beginning and it's all great and whatever, and then they kind of get tired. It's like familiarity, that expression, familiarity breeds contempt. But maybe what you're talking about is that they don't have a good outlet and encouragement for their artistic capacity. So that's when they use their creative energy to start scoping out other potential sex partners, when in fact, it could be, and I'm not saying anything about having, you know, I'm not making judgment on having other sex partners. I mean, you know, that's a personal choice, but maybe it's all in the expression of art, that if people had an artistic expression which was valued and honored, they might in fact not use that energy necessarily for finding other sex partners. They might actually use that energy for creating other ventures altogether.
Yeah, it really is astounding, because it's not, it's like people think that there's, their creative needs are going to be met in their partner. And you hear this all the time. People come to me like, we've been married for 20 years and we just want to spice up our relationship, so we've come to Tantra. And then, you know, you start to excavate a little bit, like, what's really going on? And maybe their sex life is okay, you know, or with very little bit of support and education, they get to a place where it's like, you know, it's healthy. And then, instead of looking for your creative needs in your partner or in other people, like, how can you just be more in your life? Like, you know, I consider, because I'm always working on a manuscript beyond, you know, my own busy coaching practice and being a mom of a 2-year-old. I've always got a manuscript that I'm working on, and I think of her like my mistress. Like, when I actually steal away a weekend or a couple of hours to work on my writing myself, it feels like so titillating, like an affair. And that's a really healthy outlet, especially for a new mom, you know, with a busy business, to actually have that exciting, you know, rendezvous for myself. And it's something that a lot of people don't even allow themselves, is their own creative expression.
Yeah, quite a spin this is. It's really very eye-opening. I mean, I didn't think of it this way. It's just, I'm thrilled to be talking to you about it. You know, my feeling is, it's so funny. I didn't write my book or start letting it come out of me. I couldn't write it when I was in the drama of relationship. I've kind of steered away from relationship altogether lately because I have so much creativity I want to express. And I just always felt like relationship was relationship, you know, it just blocked my creativity because I had to use my creativity to solve things, to solve things that weren't really even problems. They were just drama. And so I've been in this huge creative spurt for maybe 4 or 5 years now, and purposely avoiding that intimate contact with any one being really there, because I feel I don't want anything to get in the way of my creativity.
Yeah. Well, I want to acknowledge your impulse, Lori, because you're right on that the same energy you put into relationship is the same, you know, it's the same energy. But what I would work with you on, for example, just because since you shared that, it's like, wow, what a cool opportunity for you to look at, how can I not be in the duality of either it's my writing and my creativity or it's the chaos of a relationship, but right. but get into the non-dual place of, like, I can have relationships that are stable, nurturing, supportive to my art. And if the chaos starts to come, like, I have this motto, when the drama starts to happen, I'm like, drama, 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 not enough theater. You know, save the drama for the stage, and actually handle the relationship stuff really, you know, from an even keel place. And I love how much I practice multiple relationships and I have a handful of lovers. And there's a lot of drama, and not just in their lives. It's like, I just use that as all more juice for the various creative arts that I have. But you're right on in that if you look at most artists, the addiction that trumps their art is often their relationship chaos. Because they don't know how to harness that kind of creativity, and it will just detract their attention. And then they get stuck in this place of, like, I'm creating my life instead of creating my masterpiece.
Right, right. This is so eye-opening. It's really, it's astounding. I love it. I love this conversation. I mean, just having this conversation with you is going to alter something for me, again, forever. It's just going to alter something, you know.
That's exciting. Lori, what are you working on creatively?
Well, I'm always working on my business creatively on increasing enrollment into my classes. I've just launched a teacher training program. What else? I'm working on another book, on my second book, and I have some movies in me. I have a movie that I haven't written the script for yet, but I have a movie, you know, in
me.
Exciting. You know, yeah. So there's things. There's always things, and it's, you know, there. Some of these things, you know, are like I'm in a movie that we made in India. We shot in India a few years ago called Tantric Tourists, and nice. I, you know, that wasn't anything I set out. That just kind of happened. That came my way, and I just learned yesterday that it's been accepted for distribution in the UK, like by a company in the UK, which my film crew is from and director are in the UK. And
congratulations!
Thank you. And it's also, I mean, the film has won awards. It's already won it won first place in the East End Film Festival in London a year ago. And it won, it just won another award in a London festival, and it won the Golden Palm Award in the Mexico Film Festival, which had to it had to be postponed because of the swine flu.
what a tribute to you for being there and just saying yes to that project. I mean, that really is a tantric spirit, you know, just saying yes to whatever shows up. And just hearing all the different areas that you're creating in, it's wonderful that it's like an explosion. You've got lots of different directions.
Yeah, always have. And it's more, you know, more and more.
Yeah, that's one of the really valuable lessons that, like, people come to me thinking that they need to buckle down and work on one thing and really focus, and a big part of my work is giving them permission to express themselves in many different directions, because creativity begets creativity. And the more creative you are, the more, you know, you attract all kinds of creative opportunities. And then with all of that, I also offer a lot of structure on how to actually, you know, accomplish things. Like the How to Write a Book in 90 Days class is, like, very structured. Within 90 days, you're going to learn how to write a book, and you're going to be held accountable to doing it. And if somebody else can be holding space for you as an artist, you can be wildly creative because you know someone's got your structure handled. It's very tantric in principle. The archetype is Shiva holds space and Shakti dances. And so in a lot of my creative teachings, I look for how can we create the stage, you know, for our creative, whether it's our inner child or our inner artist, to really let go and to really show up, because it's a safe, beautiful place for you to go to the great depths.
Okay, well, listen, we're going to come right back to this. We're going to take another break. This is a perfect place to take a break. What you just depicted is so perfect. So we'll be right back. Everybody, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Tantra Cafe on bbsradio.com. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host. I'm with my guest, Kamala Devi, who is opening up this whole area for us about our creativity and how it relates to Tantra and sexual energy. It's beautiful. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
If you want financial advice on how to plan for the future, I know exactly who you should call. My friend Jeff DeLone. Jeff's worked with over 300 individuals, professionals, and corporations in the past 20 years. He helps clients develop strategies for estate planning, investments, and retirement. Jeff DeLone is located in Newtown Square, Pennsylvania. But wherever you are in the United States, you can reach Jeff at 610-356-1254. Or you can email him at jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com. That's jdelone@deloanefinancialgroup.com.
Securities and investment advisory services are offered through FSC Securities Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Jeff DeLone is a registered representative with FSC Securities Corporation. DeLone Financial Group is not.
Well, we're back from break, and the music that you just heard is called Just You and I, and it's from the Arabian Travels CD. And I picked this song today to share with you because on Facebook, Kamala Devi's picture is a picture of her gazing into the eyes of a mask. And I don't know, you know, if it's a mask that you made of you, but it's just, it inspired me to play the tune Just You and I, which I use in some of my courses.
Mm.
And so anyway, just if you just tuned in, you're listening to me and Kamala Devi, who were having this dance together about creative energy and where she takes people on their creative journeys when they're working with her. So just what you said, you know, the piece you said before we broke there, that was so tantric. It was about Shiva holding space and Shakti dancing, which is, you know, in the opening of Shakti, which is really true tantric lovemaking. And you're putting it into people's lovemaking in their art. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I'm blown away. So talk more.
Yeah, I think the place where most people can relate is that, you know, we've all had good sex, I hope. You know, some of us... I won't make that assumption.
Yeah, right. Don't assume that. Not everyone has. They have an I just had some people on a show talking about having an awakening, women having awakenings in their way older years. So some people are about to have good sex, but they don't, great sex, but they don't even know it yet.
Yeah, and whether it's with a person or with yourself, I mean, if everybody goes to like their best sexual experience, you know, because that's all they've got, right, is the best they've got. But if you go there, it's very typical to experience immediately afterwards or surrounding a tremendous amount of creative energy. And that might look like fantasy or visions or, you know, just sort of stimulation, inspiration. It's almost like a muse is present when you're really in the best sexual energy. And for some men report, like right after ejaculation, their mind might go totally blank, and then this deep, like, wisdom will come forth. And these are, like, not even tantric people who have these experiences. And that's, you know, where I remind most people that our sexual energy and creative energy are, in fact, one and the same. And when we get into that sexual energy, we often get out of the mind. And it's the mind that criticizes art and the mind that keeps us stuck, you know, and holds us back from creating. So, so a lot of tantra is getting into the body, getting into your senses, giving your body permission to tap into a deeper wisdom. And then whether it's before, you know, lovemaking as a form of like a foreplay, or whether it's after lovemaking, after you're relaxed and totally clear, or not even in relationship to lovemaking at all, I teach individuals to engage in creativity as a spiritual practice. That when you're actually creating, whether you're writing or dancing or singing, that you are in a form of worship, that it's a co-creation with the Creator.
Yeah, it makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. Now, people can get in touch with you. Your website is blisscoach.com. And they can find out about your Bliss Coach University by going there. There was this other piece about erotic entrepreneurs building spiritually grounded businesses. This is one of my pet peeves, by the way, that when I deal with people in the yoga community, so to speak, you know, when I go to rent space from them to do workshops or whatever, I have the hardest time with them because they're not so grounded in the business world. And so it's like, oh, please.
Yeah.
You know, just tell me how much you want. How much rent do you want for the day? Don't talk to me about all these things you're going to do because I don't know if you're going to do them. So I have these, you know, it's a pet peeve of mine. So tell me about this grounding that you do.
Sure. Just earlier in the conversation, I said, Lori, tell me about your creative endeavors. And it was so clear that a lot of your creativity is in your work. Well, the same with a lot of spiritual and erotic entrepreneurs is, their spirituality and their creativity is their work. And what I have found in the years of working, you know, both as an entrepreneur myself, and my husband's an awesome businessman. He teaches me so much about, like, the, quote, real world and how to keep my feet on the ground and really stay materially, you know, connected.
Right.
But one of the things that I find is when I work with, whether they're spiritual or erotic, they're, you know, energy workers, is that their creativity is going into their work to the exclusion, like they're, it's almost like, it's like if you're a, you know, a sex worker and you're trying to get your sex needs met from work, it's like you're going to be really unhappy. It's the same thing with, like, if all of your creativity needs are going to be just work, you know, you're using all your creativity or your, i.e. sexual energy, on your work, you're going to burn out. You're not going to love your work. And so one of the big practices that, you know, I work with entrepreneurs is I'm really helping them find other ways to get their needs for creativity met outside of their work so that they're filling the well and they feel really creatively juiced. And then when they come to their work, they have a fresh new perspective and they're not burnt out on their work. And therefore, their work really thrives. And then a lot of the material, you know, the grounding part is just basically keeping people in touch with good business sense. And some of that's, you know, simple ethics around money and integrity practices about communication. But really, as a creativity coach, the biggest problem I see is people are putting way too much of themselves into their work that they actually become codependent, lose their sense of self, and then their businesses aren't grounded.
Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. You know, I actually was going in a different direction with it. I was, you know, my criticism, I guess, has to do with a certain spiritual vow that I think people take, you know, that money, you know, making money on their, you know, by teaching spiritual practice or something isn't okay or isn't grounded, so they don't put any effort into, like, it's like not okay to out front say, yeah, I'm making money.
Yeah.
And so I've run into that so many times.
That, what you're describing, Lori, is, I think, an absolute illness. Like, I think that's a virus in our culture. Like, it is the sickest form of duality, that money is somehow not spiritual. It's like money is energy. And energy, you know, energy is this, is energy, and it is absolutely spiritual. And if you put energy in the hands, you know, it can be used for good or it can be used for bad. But if you make money bad or somehow not spiritual, you're giving power to the wrong people. And I love this quote. There's a quote by Zig Ziglar, a motivational speaker, who says that, like, there's diamonds in the hills, you know, and God created diamonds. Do you think God wanted those diamonds to go to the devil's people? like that, those diamonds are there for us, you know, those of us who want to use it on God's behalf. So I really love re-scripting and re-creating a relationship with money that is empowering and juicy and spiritual, and then ultimately can make a change in the world for light and positivity as opposed to greed and materialism.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I'm completely aligned with you there, and I actually always have been. I mean, and, you know, it's just beyond me how people, you know, run their businesses as if it's some kind of magic and they don't want to address or talk about money. I don't even know how they stay in business. I really don't know how, and probably they don't for very long, and some people miraculously do, but it's really like that. It's like so funny to think, you know, well, we're not going to talk about the money or the effort for it or whatever. It's
yeah.
just as important as, you know, it, like having no bank is going to give you any money unless you put your creativity into a business plan.
Yep. That's a great point. And so it is very valuable, the work that I do is, you know, in sex, in creativity, in relationship. And I think, and, you know, it's very valuable to people. It changes their lives. And that I really think that it requires an investment on their part. And I know that when they invest in their creativity, they ultimately get more transformation out of it. So it's just really an exchange of energy. Ultimately, you're bringing more value into the world. You should be, charging for it and having that exchange feel like balanced. And it brings more, basically just creating a win-win situation, whether it's money or service.
You know, that's, and what you just said, it also brings up something else, which is, you know, we're going through this economic period in our lives right now where people are saying, you know, people are saying things about the economy. And I say there's plenty of money out there. Not one of my courses has been canceled for this whole entire year. Nothing has been under-enrolled. There's plenty of money out there. But as a matter of fact, I think people who are fearing, you know, bad economic times are having more sex. I think people always want sex, and sex is their creativity in times when they can't afford to go to the movies. And so it's a booming time for Tantra, and it's, and I would caution people to not buy into anything that's in the newspapers. I actually think that people should use their creativity on actually making money, and there's plenty of money out there. I just really do. I don't know. You know, as you said all that, I went, yeah, and there's plenty of money out there.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's just really a certain, you know, it's the economics, or it's the powers that be that don't want us to think that there is, you know, that they want us to think there's some shortfall on things, but there isn't. And just like there's no shortage of creativity, because there's no shortage of sexual energy.
Mm-hmm.
So you're really providing a marvelous, marvelous service. So what kind, you know, so tell us, what kind of people have come to you in the past? Like, give us kind of your median age range and then the lifestyle. And we kind of have to end in a couple of minutes, but I want people to know, like, if they're listening, should they call you? Who are they?
Sure. Well, what's so interesting is I'm a little anomaly. Like, I'm a little different than most Tantra teachers because I'm in my early 30s. And when I started doing this work, my youngest client was a good 20 years older than me. And so, you know, there's a real sense of like Tantra begins after retirement for a lot of people. That's when they've taken care of their responsibilities as homemakers, and then they can actually, their kids are off, and now they can spend some time, you know, investing in their creativity and into their, you know, whether it's their sex because their kids have left and now they can pay attention to their partners. Okay, now I've always wanted to write a book. Well, I've made my fortune, or I've, you know, at least got my stability. I can start focusing on my, you know, craft. And so that was really fascinating. That's sort of the standard. Most people are over 40 when they start moving into the tantric direction. But what's exciting about my youth and the community that I surround myself in San Diego is that I'm able to now reach a much broader spectrum age-wise. I would say, you know, I'm still really working with, you know, middle class, and I would say that they're open-minded usually on the left of politics, so that's the general demographics. But I will definitely say that there's such youth that's turning on to this. Last month I was on MTV, which is geared totally towards teenagers. And I think there's a demand and an interest even amongst, you know, like early 20-year-olds that I should start pursuing my creativity, my bliss, my full expression before I hit my midlife crisis. So I just, you know, I work with any age. That's not the issue, but I'm very hopeful about what our future looks like when we have teenagers turning in the direction of Tantra.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well said. Oh, I hope there are more and more. I hope they come in droves. What a different life, what a different earth this would be if they were and if we did. And and like that. So I really encourage you. So is there anything, is there one last thing that you want our audience to know? Anything? Let's tell them how to get in touch with you again.
Yeah, so, I'm happy to, you know, if anybody writes me at Kamala@BlissCoach.com, I really look forward to, you know, to hearing from you. But as a takeaway, or, you know, a take home from Tantra Cafe, I encourage people to explore their fantasies around masturbation, like while masturbating with yourself, have the intention of experiencing it as a creative act. Like, let me pleasure and look at, what do I want to create? What ideas are moving through me? What's getting stimulated in me? And by fusing, at least in your own self-pleasuring session, your own sexual energy with your creative intention, some really amazing inspirations may be planted and be, you know, kind of nurtured and set to life as a result.
Great suggestion. I'm going to do that today, and I hope everybody else listening does that today as well.
I'll join you in it. What fun.
Jules themselves. I really, really thank you for taking the time to be on the show today. It was my pleasure to have you, and definitely my life is altered from this conversation. So so I say to you, namaste.
Namaste.
Thank you so much for being my guest. And everybody, please tune in to the next show. I'll be back with you soon. Namaste from Tantra Cafe. See you soon.